Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Well, Taco, talk to me about the transportation of energy. This keeps coming up now. There's the question of a crude oil pipeline, which many people are against. There's also questions about how in the Albany area cars are filled with volatile fuels that may, in fact, cause great economic degradation. Mm-hmm. And then we have the whole idea of how we're going to transport our electricity. Is it going to be in lines that endanger people, that fear of that? So I wonder if you'd take on that subject for us this time.
Sure. When I first announced for Congress in 2008, I looked at the role of a rep in Congress for this area through every lens I could imagine. The one that spoke most powerfully was that of the energy lens. And there, I was most encouraged to run for Congress to develop a comprehensive energy plan. And within your questions, there's a need. I think that it speaks to that need to have that comprehensive energy plan that should cover all sectors, including transportation. And so no country this great or economy this strong or large and impacting should operate without a comprehensive energy plan. When I look at the transportation of Bakken crude along the rail system, there are a number of things that come to mind, and I've raised those with Secretary Fox of the United States Department of Transportation. I've met with him a couple of times over, have written him a number of times, forcefully, if not in stronger format than that, saying we need better regulations, we need better oversight. They have produced, as a department, a response that's multifaceted. They speak to the inappropriateness of the 111, the rail car that is usually the standard shipping car for this oil. Canada, after its tragedies, and the United States have pretty much agreed that it's not the appropriate vehicle. So the move is to retrofit and then displace the 111s. I think that's important as a reform that they've offered. They've addressed speed limits. They've spoken to better training of the frontliners that do protect communities on a day-to-day basis. Those frontliners need to know just how to serve.
I don't understand what a frontliner is.
Emergency service responders, firefighters, healthcare workers that might have to be on the scene. I went to one of the training programs that they did. I had requested that they do some, and the groups were very anxious to have us go there, climbed atop the 111 and got to see just what precautionary measures we have to take. They also speak to additional scrutiny, screening of these cars, labeling. So there are a number of things that would vastly improve the rail transport. They're, you know, under consideration, and we'll see where they go with that. Hopefully the public comment period will further strengthen the cause to address these changes. And in terms of transport of that commodity, if it's done by rail or by pipe, either line poses some risk, danger to this country.
And the question is it necessary to do them?
Well, to that point, I believe it begs the bigger question. Where are we going with displacing this gluttonous dependency on fossil-based fuels? You know, the Keystone Pipeline has been talked up, and my concern is we're going to grow 40, 50 more years of dependency on a fossil-based fuel, and we're kind of the hose going across the United States over very valuable lands and become the spigot in the Gulf, and then it gets pumped right into the international cartel. And there were efforts on the floor to say, hey, save this, let's bulk this up and use this for American consumption. That was denied. So it's just going to go to the spigot at the end of the hose and ship it into the international cartel, and we haven't gained in that economically.
And well, we have endangered our area by, you know,
so
God forbid, a tragedy.
Right. And then further, depending again for decades on a fossil-based concept. So it begs the bigger question of just how do we want the mix to look? our energy mix to look. And with the transportation, with the grid system, with our traditional electric monopolies that are now deregged and wheeling electrons from state to state, we learned from Superstorm Sandy which systems were resilient. And we found that through all that damage and all that challenge, some of the distributed generation, where you have it on site, say in an industrial park, we need to move into that concept because there's a lot of line loss, even with the efficiency that we do. And, you know, it's the transformation of thinking here that should guide us. And again, a need for thoughtful dialogue that gets us into the best package. We need that investment. You know, we're teaching third world nations how to build the best, most efficient, up-to-date, innovative designs for their energy needs. We can't take our own advice, Alan. We can't take our own advice, and we're just patching things and not putting together a comprehensive energy plan that is routinely updated and constantly implemented.
I want to spend a few minutes on some international stuff on ISIS.
Sure.
You know, I think, you know, frankly, there are liberal friends of mine who believe that we have to figure out why young people are going abroad to fight for ISIS or doing terrible things here in Canada. I consider these people to be really terrible. Are you satisfied that we're doing everything we can?
Well, I think that the effort here has to recognize that our taxpayers are exhausted. And perhaps more importantly, or from a different concern, our troops are exhausted. And we can't go it alone. We need allied forces. And I would hope in addressing and approaching the ISIS situation, I would hope that some Arab nations would join in so that, again, some of the cultural dynamics won't be as unraveling. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, the investment we need to make is training these troops for their own nation and making certain that, you know, we're not boots on the ground again. You know, this trillions of dollars of that we've invested in war have been taken from what we need to do at home. And the at home agenda is great if we're going to compete and compete effectively. So am I satisfied with it? I would like to see the solid allied partnerships. And when we were asked to perhaps give resources to go and fund what are called independent or moderate sources, who are they with? You know, if they're just against Assad, for instance, do I know that they're against ISIS?
Turns out we've guessed wrong a lot.
Right, and I don't want us to guess wrong again. I want us into some very strong, structured outcome where we have the allied forces as guaranteed partners.
Paul Tonko, always wonderful to talk to our friend Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District, who's been here since January 3rd, 2009. Years are piling up already. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.